Freight Up!
Hello, and welcome back to Freight Up. My name is Jess, and together with Davide, we'll be your hosts as we navigate our major freight and bulk commodity markets. In this episode, Halpe will look at the reasons behind the recent drop in iron ore, Archie Smith gives us his take on the oil markets, and an old friend of the podcast, Rob Belcher, will give us his take on the steel and scrap market.
Hello, hello, everybody. I hope that you're doing okay since you last heard from us. As usual, let's have a first look at the latest news and the index movements since our last episode 2 weeks ago.
Let's start with some personal news. We are happy to announce that FIS has acquired GR8 Chartering Helias in Athens, Greece. GR8 Chartering was founded in June 2023 as a broker for vessels of dry cargo of all sizes and provides market intelligence and insights, pricing and consulting on negotiations, operations and maritime regulations. Its brokerage team in Athens will complement and enhance the existing FIS offering of derivatives in freight and commodities. The acquisition will bring GR8 Chartering's expertise in physical shipping into the FIS group and increase its presence in Greece, one of shipping market's key geographies.
Now let's look at some inflation figures. In the UK, the rate went down to 2.3% in April, hitting the lowest since July 2021, in comparison to the 3.2% in March. In Japan, the annual inflation also decreased to 2.5% in April from 2.7% in March. The preliminary estimates for the euro area show an increase for the first time in 5 months to 2.6% in May from 2.4% in each of the previous 2 months. In China, the Caixin General Manufacturing PMI rose to 51.7 points in May 2024 from 51.4 in April, surpassing the estimates of 51.5. In the US, the ISM Manufacturing PMI index unexpectedly edged lower to 48.7 points in May 2024 from 49.2 in April, below the forecast of 49.6 points. And now, let's take a quick look at the broad market movements of the last 2 weeks. Index-wise, we have seen a much quieter market on freight. Gone are the days of the 30 to 50% moves on the index, and the easy ebb and flow of summer trading is already here. The four dry freight basket rates have all been within a 1 to 2,000 range. The C5TC closing yesterday at 23,545, up 1,500 from 2 weeks ago. P5TC went down to $15,112 from $16,401. S10TC, $13,920, down from $15,200, and the Handysize Index printed yesterday just shy of $13,000. Iron ore has seen a sharp drop over the past 2 weeks, down from $120 a ton to $106.80 yesterday. High port inventories and lingering concerns about the sustainability of the Chinese economic stimulus has clearly weighed on the market. But stay tuned because we have more about that later on. Finally, let's have a look at the fuel oils. They've been dragged down by declining crude prices. They've generally dropped as well. In fact, Singapore 5 printed yesterday at $560, with its high sulfur equivalent at $494, down around 15 bucks on the prior week.
Next, we have Halpe, senior analyst from our Shanghai office. What caused the sharp drop of iron ore over the past 2 weeks?
I think, first of all, the drop fell into our expectation. We mentioned in mid-May that ferrous possibly see sharp correction when the crowded trades on copper and silver stopped. The positions of silver in major exchange evaporated significantly during the past 2 weeks, so that's one external factor. On the fundamental side, as we mentioned in the last few reports, in iron ore see higher supplies and inventories in May and June. However, the consumption side, the daily pig iron production in China fell slightly. And the similar condition happened in Southeast Asia as well. And oversupply was very obvious on the iron ore market. And virtual steel margin recovered from 55 yuan per ton to 78 yuan per ton last week. However, this number was still at seasonal low. So that was the other contributor on the fundamental side. So both pointed to the fact that iron ore is bearish.
Okay then, so having said that, how do you see iron ore prices in June and July?
I have been frequently asked for this question during the past week, since some of the traders potentially are thinking of shifting positions to longer terms. That's why we see the structures is becoming flat on iron ore market. So in short run, I think the sharp drop depend on the macro environment change. For example, if gold and silver correct to Q4 last to the level similar to Q4 last year, which means probably 25 to 30% of let's just make an assumption from the highest level of the year. So the rest of metals should fall as well. But normally that won't happen. But on fundamental side, I think iron ore should see lower place in the rest of 2024 in the next 2 months. So the current level is not the lowest. So since oversupply caused a consistent problem through May and June, and however, fairly less consumption of steels, constructions, used long steels are expected lower in June, as well as the flat steels are getting lower on the export side because of the rainy seasons in Asia. And high tariffs on the export side make China exported steels less competitive in European market. And I think the low margin is also one problem as well. So I think all the fundamental indicators were resisting iron ore in mid-run from a big rebound. So from other words, I think the iron ore price is still on the neutral bearish side in June or early of July, at least from my point of view.
Thank you very much, Hal. That was very good insight. And I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Bye.
And now let's talk about fuel oil with Archie Smith. Archie, thank you very much for joining us again. Always a pleasure to welcome you in the booth. How are you doing today?
Pleasure to be on, mate. Thank you very much.
So I have a question for you as always. So we've seen a very range-bound buy for like crude, but now it seems that June has brought all this, all the excitement. So can you tell us more about the result of the OPEC meeting and what this has done to the prices?
Sure. So, yeah, as you said, May, we were very much stuck between sort of like an 81 and 85 range, pretty directionless. And then OPEC had the meeting on Sunday. And basically the conclusion of that meeting was that the OPEC Plus members were going to continue their ongoing output cuts until through Q3 of this year. And then for Q4, they're going to start trickling more supply back into the market. So the main OPEC producers are going to start trickling crude back into the market in Q4. And the rest of the members, kind of the smaller producers, will keep their cuts into 2025. But obviously, you know, the main bulk of crude oil comes out of those main guys, you know, your Saudi Arabia, et cetera, et cetera. Usual suspects. And yeah, this is massively bearish. I don't think any analysts expected these producers to start bringing more output into the market for a little while yet. So for it to be so soon in Q4, market's taken a very bearish sentiment. Monday morning trading straight after the meeting, it was a little bit sideways, but certainly with a bearish sentiment. And then the market's kind of trickled down to the $80 per barrel mark in the morning. And then as soon as we hit that mark, I think there was a lot of technical stop out levels there. And I certainly think that's a big psychological level as well, the 80 mark. So as soon as we kind of hit that, We just dropped all throughout the afternoon. We went down to like 76, 75, I think is one of the lowest prices we've had. So it's come off about almost 5% this week. Like I said, it's off the back of the OPEC meeting with, you know, people anticipating more supply. And I think it also kind of jumps onto the existing environment of poor demand outlook and, you know, weak economic data coming out of the US and China. It's kind of added onto that and it's all snowballed and we're finally seeing some movements in the crude. We're really coming off and, you know, I certainly think we could see it come even weaker.
And on the I5s instead, they've been moving around quite a lot. So, like, I don't know if you can tell us a little bit what's happening there.
This, I think, has a link to the crude movements as well. So the I5s, for those who are maybe new to the podcast or don't know what the high five spread is, it's the differential in price between the high sulfur fuel oil and the low sulfur fuel oil. Low sulfur fuel oil traditionally is always more expensive because it's more refined, it's cleaner, less sulfur, and obviously the high sulfur cheaper. We are seeing this spread now narrow a lot. So the Sing, if we're looking at the Sing high five, the Cal 25 Sing high five is kind of hovering around the $100 per barrel mark. And in the front, it's in like the high 80s. So like an $80 difference between your low sulfur and your high sulfur is really low. Certainly the lowest we've seen it in quite a while. And this is just coming from strength in the high sulfur fuel, more so than weakness in the low sulfur fuel. Kind of links to the crude because often when crude and high sulfur often have a inverse relationship. So with crude coming off, high sulfur becomes more expensive. And another thing is the kind of ongoing lack of physical high sulfur supply. A lot of the OPEC countries and, you know, Saudi and Russia, their crude is known to be high sulfur content. It's called heavy crude, which is where the kind of high sulfur fuel oil comes from. So with less of that in circulation at the moment from all the output cuts, it's just kind of harder to get hold of. And another thing I'd mention is power generation season in the Middle East. As they get into their summer, the demand for the high sulfur stuff really, really spikes there. And I think those are a few of the things as to why we're seeing strength in the high sulfur, thus narrower high fives.
I see. And then we hope that the summer will finally arrive also here in London, because like, I'm really looking forward to just like drop my umbrella somewhere hidden in my apartment and don't take it like until
I don't know if you saw, but there was I think BBC News said that apparently it was the hottest May, the warmest May in this country on record. Where have they got that from?
Anyway, Archie, always a pleasure. Thank you very much as always for joining us today. And as always, we can maybe do it again in 2 weeks' time, and then we can give our listeners also like an update on the weather.
For sure, yeah. We'll turn it to a weather podcast as well.
Cheers, bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
And now let's talk about steel and scrap with Head of Steel, Rob Belcher. Rob, thank you very much for joining us today. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I would like to start with the first question. So I was wondering if you can tell us what's going on the European hot rolled coil market this year.
Yeah, certainly can. So let's rewind to the start of the year. So in Jan, we saw a brief spike in prices as some buyers restocked their inventories. The Argus European Hot Rolled Index kicked off 2024 at 692.25 euros per ton ex works. That climbed to 754.5 euros per ton by the end of Jan. However, this upward trend was short-lived, much like my New Year's resolutions. Since then, we've seen a steady decline in demand, challenging macroeconomic environment, characterized mainly by high interest rates, is significantly impacted sort of real consumption. Construction activity, especially in Germany, has nearly ground to a halt. Once the driving force of the European economy, Germany is now struggling, a bit like England versus Italy in that Euro Cup final 4 years ago. And no, I'm still not bitter. By April 22nd, the index had dropped to its lowest point this year at 623.75 euros per ton, and has shown little improvement since. As of 3rd of June, it's holding steady at 635.5 euros per ton. I mean, there was a slight restocking surge in April, but prices remain subdued. High import levels and continued production by larger EU mills aimed at maintaining their free carbon emission allowances, so have kept prices from rising. The futures contract volumes on the CME are teetering just under the 400KT mark year to date. This is a slight decline on year-on-year growth since the launch of the contract, but the second half of this year seems like it's poised for volume growth with the European economic outlook becoming marginally clearer.
Thanks, Rob. And we spoke about Europe, and what about our friends across the Atlantic in the US?
Yeah, so the US hot roll coil prices have really declined over the last month, now at about $750 per ton. This marks a 9.6% drop in May. Service centres avoid spot buying, relying on contracts due to the ample spot availability. You're seeing domestic mill lead times are still steady around 3 to 5 weeks. I mean, demand is weak in sectors like construction and truck trailer manufacturing, with subdued buying expected throughout the summer. But there is a plot twist. There's speculation that domestic prices may stabilise soon as interest rates in offshore orders remain low due to long lead times. Nucor's recent price drop to $760 per tonne has really thrown a sort of curveball, with some predicting low prices through the summer to attract sort of 2025 contract commitments, with large buyers holding out significant discounts, but no major deals have emerged yet. As the HRC supply increases, mills are expected to sort of maintain wider spreads to value-added products compared to historic levels. And we're looking at just shy of 2.5 million tonnes traded on the CME futures contract year to date, with the options contract having a strong first half of the year, coming in at just under 375 KT.
Thanks, Rob. And finally, what's the latest on the Turkish scrap and rebar?
So Turkish scrap and rebar, I mean, since dropping below the sort of $400 a ton CFR price in Feb, scrap prices have been floating around the sort of 370, 380 range, occasionally nudged by restocking and rebar demand. Mid-May saw some offers from the US and Baltic regions around the 382 mark. despite rising collection costs in the Baltics. In April, the CFR Turkey price averaged at 385, but eased to 382.5 in early May. Rebar producers, especially in the Iskenderun region, ramped up their scrap inventories due to stronger domestic demand. Turkish rebar export prices have been stuck in the sort of $580-$585 per ton FOB range, with mills struggling to raise prices after losing Israel as a major export market. They're now giving Europe and Latin America the eye, though demand there really remains limited. So mills aim to keep scrap rebar conversion costs at about $200 per ton, but really, really close to break even. So I think sort of tightrope walking without a net. In the near term, Turkish scrap prices should average around the $390 per ton mark, with some support from the construction sector. However, rebar export opportunities may remain limited. As ever, the LME scrap futures contract volumes remain strong, with just shy of 3 million tonnes traded year to date. The volume growth looks to continue throughout the second half of the year, and more physical customers entering the market. This market is one roaring kitty Reddit post off becoming the next commodity futures powerhouse.
Let's hear how it will go in the next few months then. Thank you very much, Rob, for joining us.
Cheers, thank you.
And that's it for this week. Make sure to subscribe by clicking the subscribe button on wherever you get your podcast. Also, make sure to follow us on LinkedIn or get signed up on our app FIS Live to make sure you never miss any freight and commodity analysis from FIS. Thanks again for joining us, and see you in 2 weeks' time on FIS's Freight and Commodity Podcast. Freight up.